The third major macro trend are around the new combinations that we see. So for, I think, many of you sitting in this room, if you work on M&A, most of probably the history of your career has been on horizontal growth, mergers between health systems and physicians. But now we're seeing a different type of merger and acquisition, or different types of combinations, new combinations, in fact. And we've tried to make it easier for everyone by saying there's four primary types of new organizations that we see forming out there. One are the vertical integrations, and of course some major announcements around those, and some of those have closed, where we see giant payer organizations and retail health coming together, other types of vertical integrations like that. So there you're looking at, can we control the whole supply chain and potentially reduce cost? Can we have more influence over the consumer if we're actually interacting and touching the consumer all along their healthcare journey? Ostensibly, that's the vertical integration. Employer activists, the newly named Haven, which is being run by Dr. Atul Gawande, which is the J.P. Morgan, Chase, Berkshire Hathaway employer group. You know, on its face, there's nothing new there. There's a lot of business groups and employer groups that work on best practices and pricing and things of that nature. I think the interesting thing here is we have now, with those four combined companies, we actually have over 1 million employees. So it makes an incredible laboratory of experimentation around where will employers go next in terms of activism. And what we're seeing around that employer activism is a lot more interest in narrow networks, creating their own networks, sometimes bypassing the traditional health system, setting up their own primary care systems. And that's being driven by the tightening labor market, where employers really need to have better benefits to attract employees. So one great example, and I'll use an example of our friends who are our next door. I was at a conference recently, and the person sitting next to me sets up primary care clinics for oil petroleum companies. They're doing exploration. So out in West Texas right now, the fight for labor is so tight that it's an attractor to have an on-site clinic. That on-site clinic in an oil field is literally a trailer with a physician and nurse working in the trailer in that remote location. But that is enough of a incentive that they may be able to recruit and retain better employees because of that. So that employer activism isn't necessarily only about price and trying to bring costs down. It's also about creating a better experience for their employees. Technology innovators, we see a lot of tech companies coming into healthcare. Most of those are through collaborations and partnerships, and so you see some of the large academic medical centers that may be trying to raise the health of their community, and they're providing coupons for rideshare services so people can get to the appointments if they don't otherwise have the ability to do so. And health retailers, again, the concept of convenient care, more and more of the traditional health system is partnering with health retailers because they want to make sure that the care is the most convenient, and that's what consumers are asking for. So our third major macro trend, lots of new combinations out there. And these trends I'm going through now, these are not one-year trends. I think these are ones that we think we're going to be seeing really over the next 5 years that will be driving a lot of change. Last but not least for our macro trends, the disruption by new entrants. I've already kind of alluded to some of those here. You can see we try to keep a running analysis of the Fortune 50 companies. Back in 2013, 76% of the Fortune 50 were in healthcare, and last year that was up to 84% of the Fortune 50. And that rings throughout the economy. And I've made this point before, and it's still true today, which is, you know, when you're over 18% of the GDP, you're a very, it's a very big attractor to be a part of the healthcare system as well as there's a lot of consumer dissatisfaction out there. So there's companies that come in and say, we can solve a piece of this healthcare system, we can solve a gap that consumers are seeing, or make their time in the health system more efficient and better for them. All right, so let's start walking through a little bit more of the here and now. What are the big issues we're seeing for this year? And the first one up is around digital therapeutics. And I think this is an amazing use of new technology. And on one level, it's a very kind of, it's a very simple realization. And we've heard this before. On the negative side, have you heard doctors and scientists say our use of smartphones and devices and technology actually can rewire our brains over time, right? You've heard all the negative things, like our kids have lower, they can't focus as much, people aren't sleeping at night because they're using their devices. So we know that these have a huge effect on the brain, but they also can have a positive effect on the brain as well. And we now have our first FDA-approved digital treatments. So actually using smartphone apps to treat cognitive issues. So primarily we're talking about depression, ADHD, substance abuse issues. So these are actual treatments now where you spend time on your phone, and just as it could rewire your brain, it may be in a negative way, we're saying now this is rewiring your brain in a positive way and helping people to manage conditions. So it's a very exciting new area of innovation in science, and it speaks to a lot of what people want and need, especially when dealing with cognitive issues. A lot of times people want privacy, they want to do it in their own home, they want to do it at their own time, or they want to do it when they're experiencing an episode, or they need to focus or concentrate. Having it available at any time on a smart device makes it very, very accessible.